भगवते वासुदेवाय
Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading the continuation of the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva from first canto, chapter 6. We will take text 19. Please kindly repeat responsibly.
Nidrikshustadaham buya.
Pranivayamano hridi.
Bhikshamano pi napasyam.
Avitriptai vatura. Nidrikshu. Desiring to see.
That
aham,
I,
buyaha, again,
pranidhaya,
having concentrated the mind,
manaha,
mind,
ridhi,
upon the heart,
vikshamanaha,
waiting to see,
api,
in spite of.
Na,
never.
Apashyam,
saw him.
Avitripta,
without being satisfied.
Viva,
like.
Atura,
aggrieved. Translation and the purport by His Divine Grace is confirmed by Acharya. ऐसी बातें बनाते स्वामी I desire to see again that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view the form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. There is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we like. The sun rises out of his own accord, so also the Lord is pleased to be present out of his causeless mercy. One should simply await the opportune moment and go on discharging his prescribed duty in devotional service of the Lord. Narada Muni taught that the Lord could be seen again by the same mechanical process, which was successful in the first attempt. But in spite of his utmost endeavor, he could not make the second attempt successful. The Lord is completely independent of all obligations. He can simply be bound up by the tie of unalloyed devotion, nor is it visible or perceivable by our material senses. When he pleases, being satisfied with the sincere attempt at devotional service, depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, then he may be seen out of his own accord.
Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitamena Tasmehi Shigurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manamishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Vadati Svapanatikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sredi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Karubhescha Kripati Kurudevacha Patita Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri
So this verse deals with the transcendental reality, the dynamical reality of transcendence. This word dynamical means that opposites coincide simultaneously. In the material world, you cannot be poor and rich at the same time. You cannot be healthy and sick at the same time. You cannot be here and there at the same time. So all the you cannot be hot and cold at the same time. But in the transcendental realm, all the opposites can be experienced simultaneously. So Narada Muni dealing with the transcendental platform by being engaged in the process of bhakti, by engaging in the process of devotional service, meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, he showed a very important principle that we have to note today. This important principle has to do with that, the unit of reality. And here this principle is about the intense practice of Narada Muni, of bhakti, of devotional service, and simultaneously the mercies of Krishna manifesting. So sometimes there is a misconception that if I practice bhakti through my own powerful sadhana, I can attain Krishna. Have you ever thought like that? I'll improve my sadhana, I'll become so good, I'll chant the holy name perfectly, and in that way I will become Krishna conscious just by the sadhana. And sometimes we think I am too fallen. I cannot follow any sadhana. Therefore, Krishna has to show his mercy upon me. The two extremes. But both of these are just part of the Mahatattva, part of the illusion. So, the real understanding of practice of process of bhakti includes both opposites simultaneously. That you practice with your utmost sincerity the process of bhakti, while at the same time you depend on Krishna's mercy. Usually in the material world, like I said, if you endeavor for something, you don't depend on anyone's mercy. You just endeavor. That's me. I'm the powerful person. I'm going to achieve what I want to achieve. I'm very potent. And I'm going to show the world how great I am. This is in the material world thinking. And so basically one endeavors and simply depends on their own intellect, their own power, their own finance, their own intelligence, I said already, physical power, mental power, etc. Dependence on one's own abilities and facilities. And then the opposite is there in the material world when people feel, you know, I'm completely useless, I can't do anything, therefore the government should maintain me. I'm just a useless fellow. I can't work. I can't do anything. Therefore, the government has to, you know, give me some money. I'm on the dole because I'm useless. Of course, if people have a legitimate reason why they're on the dole, that's fine. But if someone is just spacing out, trying to pretend that they're useless or they're thinking they're useless, they don't engage in anything, just waiting for something to happen or just depending on someone else without really putting the effort, that is also another form of cheating. So, therefore, the practitioners of Bhakti Narada Muni is showing us here through these insights are required to be extremely sincere in practicing sadhana, at the same time very, very humble like a blade of grass, because he shows through this verse that the Lord appeared before him, but then he disappeared. And then Narada Muni continued through this mechanical process to meditate, trying to get the Lord, to force the Lord into his presence through his own power of sadhana. But of course, Krishna did not appear again. So this shows that the Lord is supremely independent. We are dealing here with a personality who is completely independent, who cannot be controlled by anyone. In the material world, we could say that the one object of such, it's a crude example, but independence is perhaps the sun. The sun is not controlled by anybody. Nobody can tell the sun, you must appear before me now at night when it's 12 o'clock at night. I want to go to the beach and I need the sun to be in the sky. No one has the power. The sun is supremely, in the material world, independent. And of course it's depending on Krishna, but just for the sake of the example, it is independent of any other law, entity or cause or law, etc. Except the laws of God and the Supreme Lord. So, if the sun cannot be controlled by us, what to speak of the source of the sun? Imagine that. It's really inconceivable. There is no hope. Prabhupada says here in the first sentence, it completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. So, this mechanical process of sadhana. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision, just as we cannot demand the sun to rise whenever we like. So, therefore, we have to understand that it is time for all of us to become more and more genuine in our surrender. This is the message. But Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj said once, stop pretending, just surrender. So, if we are not seeing Krishna, that means we are just pretending, still, to a very big degree. Of course, it's better to pretend and practice sadhana than not pretend, you know, and practice or just get involved in sense beautification. It is much better because at least we are positioned in some way to get purified so that we can surrender in the future. But why pretend? Just tell Krishna today, my dear Lord, I am the most useless fellow. I am hopeless. Please kindly take over my entire existence. Like Prabhupada said, make me dance. Make me a puppet in your hands. Do whatever you want with me. Why can't we say this? We are sometimes afraid. If I say this, what will Krishna do to me? So why pretend? Interesting. Because we are lacking faith. So now I'm going to examine a little bit the process of how to reach to that platform of surrender. So this is very, very important. Now, Krishna becomes manifest to a sincere person. Sincere person means a person who has divine aspirations. Genuine divine aspirations. Sometimes we just practice sadhana so that we can minimize our suffering. Or like Bhaktivinoda Maharaj used to say, some devotees they practice to suffer peacefully. You know, like that. You know, I'm suffering too much, but this chanting makes me peaceful, therefore I should just chant. So chanting to suffer peacefully. But that, is that really the goal of the process? Of course not. The goal is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is divine aspiration. What is Krishna consciousness? Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur said, when will that day be mine, my Lord? When I will only think of Vrindavan, and I'll only think of Radha and Krishna and their service. When will that day be mine? Generally, we are so absorbed in our own bodily, mental needs, considerations, and then we get completely absorbed in that reality while even performing sadhana. Or after we have finished our chanting and reading, our mind takes us on a completely different trip of simply thinking of ourselves, of our bodily comforts and needs. In other words, it's a form of cheating, because we're saying Krishna engaged me in your service, but as soon we stop our praying, then we want to engage in selfish activities. So let me make a point here that if someone is engaged in devotional service, it doesn't matter what ashram they are. If they are executing their duties in that ashram with the aim of pleasing Krishna, that is not selfishness. Sometimes people have the misconception that if you are in the grihastha ashram and if you are thinking of your duties and your family, that's maya, that is selfishness. But actually not, because it depends on the consciousness. So if you are in the grihastha ashram and you are finishing your chanting, and then immediately you are thinking, how can I serve my son, my husband, or my wife, my son, my daughter, whatever, with their needs, whatever they have to do in their own existence so that they can reach Krishna, of course, in that context, that is devotional service, because we are now engaged in the service of others. But if the wife thinks, you know, I finished my chanting, let me now go on Facebook and let my husband make some food for himself, who cares, that is mine. You understand? Or the opposite, the husband is thinking, I just want to do some chat on Skype with some of my buddies. Let my wife drive the child to the school. So then the wife is burdened. She has to cook, she has to wash the dishes, she has this, she has that. She has so many things to do, but he's thinking, no, she can do all that. So that is selfishness. And that is actually pretending, and it is unhealthy pretending, because it will cause stagnation in one's devotion. So we have to be careful how we practice. Doesn't matter what ashram we are. What is our consciousness? Therefore, divine aspirations. One has to recognize that, my dear Lord, I am in this world. I'm still not aspiring to serve Radha and Krishna and to think of Vrindavan 24/7. I'm still having so many other things, many other ideas. My mind becomes filled with mundane thoughts. I try to dodge my service sometimes. I manage badly my time, and sometimes, you know, due to bad time management, I excuse myself that I can't do certain services, etc. It's not Vrindavan consciousness. Vrindavan consciousness means what I can do today, now, to please Radha and Krishna. So, that is actually the realm of the battle. This is the real battlefield. How we can defeat the ahankara, the false ego, and how we can actually allow the divine energy to move us into genuine devotional service. When we surrender to Krishna, automatically the internal energy of Krishna takes over, and you are moved by that energy like a puppet.
But when there is ahankara, immediately you surrender to the external energy, and the external energy moves you like a puppet. The story of Puranjana, it explains his wife lifted her arm and he lifted his arm. You remember that story? His wife turned this way and he turned this way as well. It's completely controlled by the external reality. One who is attached to the material world. One forgets Krishna, one kind of Krishna is at the back of one's mind, but not really the priority, the forefront of our existence. So this is the real battlefield. How to come to that level of sincerity that we become moved by the internal energy of the Lord? Well, it starts with sincerity, but note, sincerity begins just with humility to serve the Vaishnavas. Even if we don't fully understand Krishna consciousness, but we have some liking, that is already a good qualification for us to receive the mercy. So, when we begin devotional service on the neophyte stage, we just become engaged in service under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master. So even if we don't understand fully, if we have just kind of very basic understanding of Krishna, or very basic understanding of theism, God consciousness, and the process of bhakti, that humility, that simplicity allows us to engage in the service. Just like Narada Muni's mother. She was a simple maidservant. But she hosted these Brahmins over the rainy season, 4 months. She served them because she knew this is the culture. And due to that humility, due to that simplicity, you know, she was blessed as well as her son, who was also around him, and he was simple and humble, serving these great Vaishnavas. So in that association, Narada became sincere to attain Krishna. So again, everything boils down to very powerful association with devotees, and how are we functioning in that association. So associating with the devotees makes us sincere. When we become sincere, we begin to have divine aspirations. And divine aspirations means we recognize the goal of sadhana, the value of that goal, and we're very eager, in fact greedy, loyal, transcendental greed, to get there. It is said that sadhana produces energy. Right? If you practice sadhana, there is some energy. But if that energy is not connected to the goal of that sadhana, you may become misdirected. Therefore, the acharyas explain that when you chant, if you are not attentive, you may develop material desires, or certain material hankerings and thoughts may manifest into reality, because the holy name is Chintamani, touchstone. So when we are chanting, we have to have divine aspiration. The goal must be in your mind. When you chant your japa in the morning, when you do service in the day, you have to always remember that goal. I want to serve my spiritual master, Radha and Krishna, and I want to be in Vrindavan. I want to reach Vrindavan in this lifetime. Divine aspiration. If you don't have divine aspiration, you will not reach the goal. Because you are not aspiring, Krishna will not give his mercy. Most probably. Very rare cases where Krishna forces his mercy on someone like that. It is explained also. But, so that's why both things, our endeavor is there, while simultaneously we depend on the Lord's mercy. So that endeavor is coupled with intense humility,
Golgovinda Maharaj said, cry out for the mercy. You know, he said, I have created the school for crying when he built that temple for Prabhupada in Bhubaneswar. So every temple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, is actually a school for crying. So the sadhana must be coupled with that humility, which means genuine crying, while simultaneously you remember the goal of that sadhana. I want to reach Krishna Prema, Braja Bhakti, divine Krishna Prema, and become a servant of Radha and Krishna in this lifetime. So, high aspirations. Better have high aspirations than no aspirations or low aspirations. So if you have high aspirations, you will keep trying and keep trying and keep trying humbly, and then Krishna will definitely become more and more and more available. So this is some of the intricacies of this process of bhakti. So we have to stay awake, otherwise we're going to miss the opportunity to return back to the spiritual world. Maya is offering you every moment something to keep you bound. Maya is an equal opportunity employer. She does not discriminate. You know, for her, everyone is under her domain in this world. Therefore, even if you are a Hare Krishna devotee, Maya will say, no, this is a Hare Krishna devotee, let me leave you. No, she'll employ you immediately. She'll find a business for you. She'll find some nice service when you become little inattentive. It's like razor's edge. So, Prabhupada was saying we have to be conscious before we become Krishna conscious. And to become conscious, we have to follow very nice sadhana, by remembering the goal and having intense humility, knowing that the sadhana itself is insufficient because Krishna is independent. You cannot control Krishna. He will not appear before you because of your own prowess, devotional prowess, physical, intellectual, whatever. So that's why the acharyas are saying that one has to be patient, endeavor with confidence and enthusiastic. Again, it's like something very much of a contradictory perspective. You have to be enthusiastic but also patient and confident. Endeavor confidently. In other words, you must have that great faith that by practicing this process, I will attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So, sincerity is attained. I'm just kind of summarizing this. Sincerity is attained in association of devotees, sincere devotees. We have to always try to be in association of sincere devotees. And associating with sincere devotees doesn't mean just hanging around. It means serving them. It means Prabhu or Mataji, whatever, depending on the ashram, how can I serve you? What can I do to make your life easier? Sometimes the devotees will say, no, I'm fine, everything is alright, you know, I don't need service, because they're humble and they think, how can I accept a service from someone? But if you're a little Krishna conscious, Krishna will show you how to serve. Because Krishna is in the heart, he'll give you divine vision. Remember that internal energy? You will enter into it and you have different eyes and you will see different things. But if we are captured by the illusory energy, we will see, we may offer even some service to some devotee, but you know, Maya Devi will say, look, there is no service to be done to this devotee. He's all perfect and happy. You know. And then you think, look, I cannot serve him, therefore I should serve myself. Very nice. And in this way we get captured. So at least every day we should try to see see to extend ourselves to serve one or two devotees. We should try. We should make this like a, we should take a solemn vow before Krishna. My dear Lord, I'm going to try every single day to serve one or two devotees, to assist them in some way or other. Sometimes devotees will definitely come up and they say, you know, look, please help me in this way or that way. So that is a wonderful opportunity, so we have to seize the opportunity. And in this way, by serving the devotees, our sincerity will increase and our comprehension of the goal of bhakti, of sadhana, will become more clear. In other words, the service of Radha and Krishna. Everything will become clear as day, and then you will have an intense desire or lolem, that lolem will increase. Because you will simultaneously perceive the misery of sense gratification, and simultaneously you will perceive the wonderful opportunity of serving Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, under the lotus feet of your spiritual master. Yasha prashara bhagavat prashara, yasha prashara nagati kutopi. Without the mercy of the bona fide acharya, spiritual master, there is no hope that we can reach Krishna. This is another fallacy, that I can reach Krishna on my own. I'll practice very powerful sadhana, I'll be very humble before Krishna, and then he'll definitely give his mercy. If you try to jump over your guru, you'll be finished. If you think my guru is just a formality, it's a picture on the wall, you know, like a rock star, you know, he's there, but, you know, ultimately I'll reach Krishna on my own. I'm just showing the others that I have a guru, you know, so that they should follow the process. I am just teaching them what the process is. But internally we're thinking I'll reach Krishna on my own. These are different Maya's ways to track you down, put you down. So, yasha prashanam, bhagavat prashanam, yasha prashanam, naviti kutopi. There is no hope of advancement without the mercy of the genuine, bona fide spiritual master, spiritual masters, the shiksha gurus as well. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was singing that prayer, Krishna Setu Mala Krishna Viti. My dear Vaishnava, you're the possessor of Krishna, and you can give me Krishna. You have to understand, really, a bona fide acharya, bona fide spiritual master, or masters, bona fide spiritual, they have Krishna. Don't think they're just like you, struggling with their senses and mind. They have Krishna. They can give you Krishna. If you please them, if you serve them in a humble manner, if you are patient. Sometimes we develop lack of faith in the spiritual masters. If some other senior people have problems and whatever, and then we think, oh, what about you know, my spiritual master, what about the other spiritual master? We develop doubt, and then we start to go on a mental individualistic trip, and then Maya captures us. So, Srila Deva Amrita Maharaj said that in at the retreat in New Zealand. He said, if some senior devotees have problems, which is most probably will happen, it is natural because of the influence of Maya in this world. He said, you should understand that this is normal, it will always happen, but that does not mean that it will happen to all the senior Vaishnavas. You see? It's not like meant to, it's not going to be that all the senior devotees will be affected in that way. It depends on one's particular consciousness. It depends on one's particular level of sincerity and divine aspiration. If you don't have divine aspiration, you most probably not reach the goal. So what does this indicate to us? That we have to be very concerned
that I don't want Maya. I sincerely beg for Krishna's mercy, for his protection, for his shelter. I want to get involved and engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna one day, and that is my lifetime preparation to make it. As soon as some other thought comes in the mind, thank you, I don't want it. And because one is so humble, like a blade of grass, one is so conscious of their fallen condition, they'll immediately be able to spot by Krishna's mercy that this is Maya trying to divert me in some way or another. And one will say, Krishna, please help me. And then immediately the Lord will manifest some devotional stamina or strength, and you'll be able to say no to that offering of Maya. This is the bhakti science. These are the internal intricacy, what's going on while you're moving forward in the path of bhakti. So the saving grace is genuine humility, wonderful sadhu sangha. Devamrita Maharaj uses the word camaraderie. Prahlada Nandana Maharaj said the other day another very powerful thing. He said, when you see your house is getting on fire, don't switch the fire alarm off. You remember that? Because you may think, you know, look, my house is on fire, but if I leave the fire alarm on, it will go on and then my neighbors will hear that my house is on fire, and then I'll be in an embarrassing situation. Therefore, let me switch off the alarm so that nobody can hear, and I'll try to put the fire on my own. You understand that? So when we have no camaraderie, Vaishnava, devotional, deep, loving, caring, affectionate relationships with other devotees in our environment, or if we don't have deep faith in the spiritual master, if we are not endeavoring to become genuinely humble and sincerely aiming at the transcendental goal, Maya will find a way to track you down. She may not make you fall, but she's got another weapon. Do you want me to tell you what's my another weapon? She will make you stagnate, and you stay in one the same place for many, many, many years, maybe even lifetimes. So sometimes we may not fall down into Maya and get into sense gratification and all that. But we may be practicing sadhana, but we are stagnant. Our heart is dry, and we just do it like we force ourselves. I'll do my sadhana because I promised my guru and whatever, but there is no taste. It's all like, I had some taste before, but now it's disappeared. But anyways, I'm just going to try. And we just carry on like this. But 10, 15 years down the line, there's nothing happening. Still the same anarthas in my heart. Still I'm offensive in my mind towards other Vaishnavas. I judge them on their body. I judge them on their gender or their ashram or whatever. All these offensive things in my consciousness. So remember, Chintamani, material desires, if they're there, and if we perform kalas, devotional service, lackadaisical, whimsical, Maya will do the second trick, stagnation. And Bhaktivinoda Maharaj used to say something very powerful. Prabhupada called this a movement, Krishna consciousness movement. It's quite indicative. You have to move towards Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj said that if you move slowly, and if someone comes while you're moving slowly and pull you, they can very easily pull you back. Do you agree with me? If you move slowly. If you stand in one place, remember the stagnation process? If you just stagnated and you're standing in one place, someone comes and pulls you and you immediately go. But if you're running back towards Krishna, if someone is trying to pull you, they won't be able to do it. Because you're running, like really running for your life. Just imagine that. Running for your life towards Krishna. Nothing can stop you at that case. Nothing. Because Krishna sees the endeavor and he reciprocates accordingly. Because you see, this devotee is very enthusiastic. I'm going to give them special mercy. How many of you want the special mercy of Krishna today? Both hands. One time, one devotee in Durban, he was saying to the devotees congregated there, how many of you want the mercy of Krishna today? So the devotees were saying, yes, we want it. And then he said, okay, put your hands in the air then. So the devotees did like this. He said, oh, you want the half mercy of Krishna? You have to put it like that, he said. We want the full mercy of Krishna. So, yes, we really have to plan in that way that, my dear Lord, I have been in this material world for millions of lifetimes. Please kindly help me so that this lifetime I will return to your lotus feet. I want to dedicate this lifetime exclusively to you from today. And please kindly protect me from Maya. Please kindly guide me forward in devotional service. I would like to be completely surrendered servant of yours. In other words, I want to be completely guided by your internal potency, Srimati Radharani. So, when we are under the direction of Srimati Radharani, we will see service opportunities everywhere, like a sea of service. And of course we have to prioritize which service will be more pleasing to Krishna. Devamrita Maharaj taught us this principle once. He said Vaishnava is the most intelligent because he is not only thinking what will please Krishna, he is thinking what will please Krishna the most. Imagine you have few opportunities, this opportunity, that opportunity and that opportunity. So Vaishnava is thinking what will please Krishna the most, very sincerely, without personal impositions, trying to add your own dimension. So you pray, my dear Lord, what will please you the most? And if you don't still understand what will be pleasing, will please Krishna the most, then you can ask the spiritual master if it's some big decisions and some other mentors or authorities that are there around you. But you must know that whatever service you have been given already by the spiritual master and the authorities that you're working, serving under, that is pleasing very much Krishna. But you can always think, how can I increase that service, the quality, and what will please Krishna more? And you'll see a whole realm of new services will open before you that will allow you to grow. That is called spiritual evolution. So we believe in evolution, but not in Dharma, in Dharma's idea. Spiritual evolution means you are greedy to offer greater and greater pleasure to Krishna. So to summarize, we need to be sincere. Sincerity is achieved in association of other sincere devotees. Through sincerity we develop divine aspirations to go to the service of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan in this lifetime. And then we practice very seriously sadhana while simultaneously understanding that the mechanical process is insufficient to get the full mercy of Krishna. And therefore, very humbly, we're depending on Krishna's mercy. So sometimes Krishna gives mercy, sometimes he withdraws it, just like he appeared before Narada Muni. He gave him his darshan and then he disappeared. Because the Lord wanted to increase, he disappeared because he wanted Narada Muni not to take it cheaply, but in fact to increase his eagerness, his dependency on Krishna. So sometimes Krishna may put us in very difficult situations. We may wonder, why is Krishna doing this to me? It is simply to increase your dependency on Him. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Gratvarachimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Any comments or questions? Yes? Run towards Krishna. Yes. She's asking that Maya's one weapon is to keep us stagnant. So she's asking, how can we run towards Krishna? The running towards Krishna means that you capitalize on developing divine aspiration. I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to serve Radha and Krishna in this lifetime under my Guru Maharaj's guidance. So, if you see the goal, that will make all aspects of your service more intense. You will do everything with greater quality and more heart, with greater humility, with greater dependency. You will cry out more to Krishna, actually. In essence, this is running towards Krishna. Crying out for the mercy of Krishna. Recognizing that on your own, you cannot do it. This is running towards Krishna. Crying out for the mercy. Just look at the opposite so that you can understand it better. It's when you do some sadhana, you just mechanically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. There is no Krishna, please kindly help me. I'm just too fallen. I'm just so attached to this material energy. Please kindly help me. You've seen how Radhanath Maharaj chants? You've seen video of that? Yeah? It's this intensity, you know. But generally we like, we may even sleep, you know, in japa. So this is showing we're not running. And I tell you, when you do japa like this, Krishna will send special gifts to you, transcendental gifts, that will increase your attachment to the Lord. Like here, in the next verse you'll see, when he disappeared from Narada, Narada continued very intensely to do that sadhana, and he was hoping Krishna will appear. But what happened? He heard Krishna's voice, and Krishna told him, and there is a whole now narration. O Narada, the Lord spoke. I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. The Lord starts to speak to him. So he doesn't see him anymore, but Krishna is speaking. So don't think that because you're not seeing Krishna, he's forgotten you, he's playing with the gopis, and he's completely unconscious of your struggle. No. He is there with you. The two birds in the tree, there, the one is eating the fruit and the one is observing. When the one eating the fruit turns towards the observer, the super soul, then the real magic happens. So our whole practice, our whole life is about just this moment of turning in the right direction. That's all. It can take you so many lifetimes. But if you just understand this, that my whole suffering, my whole misery is because I'm turning my back to Krishna, I'm trying to be independent. If you just understand that, this is a success. And that's where the war is, because the ego, the false ego, the illusion, that's where they attack you the most, and they make you so confused and so faithless and so dull, spiritually dull, that you'd like, you know, kind of, you know,
yeah,
Krishna, Krishna, I'm chanting, but nothing is happening. I'm just hanging around, maybe something will happen. So that is where Maya captures, that is the middle stage of her weapon, you know, or the second weapon, not the fall down. Sometimes they say this is just the calm before the storm. When we are stagnant, the next stage is fall down. You see. So cry out for the mercy. Try to learn how to cry out for the mercy. And what can help you is association of very sincere devotees. If you see sincerity somewhere, just serve these devotees, beg for their mercy. You know what Partha Sarathi Das Goswami Maharaj told me in South Africa? He said every day he prays for 30 or 40 of his god brothers and god sisters. How's that? He prays for 30 or 40 of his god brothers and god sisters for their mercy. And how? This is a very, very advanced Vaishnava. Make no mistake. Extremely advanced. And still he has such a deep affection and humility for his god brothers and god sisters, and he sees them as his superiors, and he sees that they're vessels of mercy. But we don't see. We see, yeah, these guys, that they should come to me and I should give them the mercy. Can they see how great I am? So that is the general tendency. Don't they see it actually? You know, I mean, I'm doing pretty good, you know. Can they see? You know, they must be so a neophyte, you know, they cannot see me, you know, where I'm standing. You know. Yeah, we think like this. And we use your energy. So this is crying out for the mercy. Crying, learning how to cry out for the mercy. Devamrita, Srila Devamrita Maharaj said it. A very powerful thing I'm going to repeat with you, share it. He said it doesn't matter whether someone is a neophyte Vaishnava or a very senior Vaishnava. If he or she stops crying out for the mercy, he will fall down. This is the situation. Is that okay? Are you ready to run towards Krishna? Another way you can run towards Krishna is if you read Prabhupada's books very carefully. Prabhupada will convince you that you must run towards Krishna. Yes, other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thinking that sometimes the common distraction to get to Facebook has been a while. Just looking at Facebook last night.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity there. Some people, you know, preach or feel, express that, you know, Facebook is an opportunity where you can reveal your mind about the Vaishnavas. In that way, it's like a transcendental, you know,
Sangha.
Communication. And okay. A lot of devotees can take advantage of it. So, whether to reveal your mind or not to use it at all.
Okay. Is that your question? Well, my example was that we made Dodge devotional service in the name of Facebook, so that is not desirable. Facebook's fine, but you have to know it can be addictive. I'm sure there will be FA, you know, Facebook Anonymous societies pretty soon. We need to be careful, because sometimes you get into it, and then some lady told me yesterday, she interviewed Maharaj, this Chinese lady. She said now there is like a little timer And every day, I don't know how you switch it on, but every day it can show you how long you've been on Facebook. Even if you're logged in for 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there, it summarizes at the end of the day you've been for 2 hours on Facebook or 3 hours. So there are the bodies, they get attached to it, and hopefully we're not one of them. So we have to be very careful. So it is good to associate with devotees, but at the same time, I give you the danger of Facebook. If you just hear it now, before you go. The Facebook has a very special danger that I noticed, and I want to tell you about it. And if you're not careful, you may become victim of it. The danger is the following, that when you are on Facebook, you're trying to talk to devotees, like Prabhuji said, so many other Vaishnavas, we communicate, but we are failing at the same time to communicate with the devotees that are around us. We are too busy on Facebook. And then what happens, I noticed it one time in the past with myself, so now I know it. When I was in South Africa, I was giving less and less time to the devotees in the community, but I was more and more busy with devotees emailing and communicating with so many other Vaishnavas around the world. Or say I also go to do some outreach in Bulgaria or something like that. So I was doing some outreach or communicating with them. So when I went to Bulgaria, what happens is I'm now with them, but the opposite is there. Now the South African devotees are there, and I'm never with the people around me. I'm always in a virtual reality. This is the danger. Can you understand that? Does it make sense? So this is the danger. We have to be very careful that we always may end up in a virtual reality, and the living people that are around you, the Vaishnavas, we don't have time for them. But we have time for some other devotees, and when we go to them, then we are now with those who we ignored while we were before with them. So that means we attach to Facebook, not to association really of the Vaishnavas. We just attach to that social or anti-social utility. You can look at it from different ways. So yes, you know, it is good, but we have to be very, very conscious, because it is time consuming. And I'm not saying it's bad, please don't take my words in the wrong way. It is important, you have to keep in touch. It helped me, for example, to connect with so many people that I've lost touch with, and now they're exposed to Krishna consciousness because of that. Even schoolmates and whatever, you know. So I connected with all these people, all my schoolmates or whatever, people that I knew from my teenage years, they are connected, and they now appreciate my new identity. They don't mind that now this person has changed, and now he's not called the way he was before, but now he's Brother Krishna Das, and he's got another world and another association, and they don't mind. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, and they're getting exposed because I'm sending messages, and they're inadvertently reading them also about this Maharaj said this, or I thought about that, or I sent some Krishna kirtan or film or something, they get slowly exposed. So it's got value, but we need to be careful that the opposite. The drawback of this can be it may divert a lot of time, take a lot of time from our time. So we don't have time for the immediate Vaishnavas that are around us. Is that okay, Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. Okay, last question. If it's a burning question, then I can answer it. I can answer it.
In relation to your whole lecture, how do you begin the mentality of a devotee who feels that in order to achieve the goal, he is overburdened by the service, and he loses even his heart and his power, and he develops aversion towards the devotee and stops praying and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a great danger.
It is fun, obviously.
Yeah.
So
one has to be one has to talk to his superiors, his guru and his temple president and his immediate authorities, if as a department authority, and say, look, you know, I think it's a bit too much the amount of service I'm taking. I don't mind doing devotional service, that's why I'm here. But the quality of my chanting is decreased, my energy levels are down, I don't have time to read. You can actually speak to them and ask them how to manage your time in a way, or how they can facilitate time management that will allow you to have more sufficient time to perform sadhana, genuine sadhana. So it's again taking shelter of the authorities and being honest and open. Like when your house is on fire, don't switch the alarm. This is the idea. You know, just go and try to reach out to them and put the situation on the table, and then they will definitely be able to respond in a positive way. And if there is some emergencies, sometimes we have to take the emergencies, but we shouldn't always live in such a way that these kind of emergencies jeopardize our sadhana, and ultimately we become dysfunctional, that we cannot perform sadhana, we cannot cry out to the Krishna. And what's the use of all that? It becomes like an over-endeavor. So we need to communicate with the authorities to find somewhat, not a comfort zone, but to find a comfortable zone where we can really function so that we can progress. So if there is a lot of service and if you have good consciousness, you're definitely getting purified by many, many, many samskaras and heavy load of karma. So you should be grateful for them for giving you that service. But at the same time, you know, if over a period of time you're observing it yourself and you're seeing that there is some adverse effect in terms of your consciousness, then you have to let the alarm be switched on. Don't switch it off. Talk to them and find a resolution. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Bharati Gauri Vaishnavrinda ki. Jai Go Premanande. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki. Jai.